Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, alternatives to Apple Music.
Plus, a slew of new Adobe apps just released.
All that and the ultimate bucket list app.
On
iOS Today.
Yay! iOS Today is brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/iOS Today to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/iOS Today. And by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/iOS today. That's lynda.com/iOS today. And by Braintree. Even the best mobile app won't work without the right payments API. That's where Braintree V.0's SDK comes in. One amazingly simple integration gives you every way to pay. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at braintreepayments.com/iOS today. Woo! My goodness.
My goodness. So
my goodness.
I am Megan Maroney.
I am Leo Laporte.
This is iOS Today. We talk about all things iOS. The phone,
Rose
the
Gold,
iPad, the watch,
Mini,
Apple TV when we
Air
get it,
2, all that stuff.
Everything else, all the other I's, O's, and S's.
Yep. Waiting for the iPad Pro. Can't wait to get that.
Yep. I am not buying it for you. You are going to buy it for me, remember?
That doesn't seem how I remember it. Fortunately,
well,
we have recordings.
We do, yes. But today we're talking about Apple Music because the three-month trial is over if you signed up in the beginning. If you waited, you still have some time to decide you're not going to subscribe.
If you signed up the end of June, early July, it'd be July, August, September. You got your 3 months. Mm-hmm. When September 29th came rolling around for me and for many of us, because I signed up right away, we had to make a decision.
Right.
Keep it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I'm going to believe blunt, not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already have Spotify, which I like a lot. You know, the music offered by these systems is all roughly the same. In fact, I've heard it said the largest library is actually Microsoft's Groove, which nobody knows about.
No.
Spotify, Apple Music, pretty similar. I think Apple will have a lot of exclusives. That's my guess. That's how they're going to keep people in the Apple Music fold. Pandora, already have that. You already have that. I also subscribe to Google Play Music. That's got a giant set of stuff. And Google Play Music does one of the things Apple Music does. It allows me to upload my collection and have that be part of the streaming.
Right.
So I feel like I've got it covered.
Yeah. The other thing that, I mean, it's good for you. The thing they announced this week, they have a family plan. Google Play Music does for the same price.
That was the one thing that I was going to stay with Apple Music. In fact, I asked my kids, you want to do Apple Music? They said no. They all use Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I knew that somebody, I thought everybody would respond to Apple's family plan of $15 for up to six people. Google did, as you say. They have it now. Still no word from Spotify, right, on a family plan?
No.
I thought they were going to do that for sure.
No, they haven't.
But my problem is my kids use Spotify. They don't want to use Apple Music, so it doesn't matter if I've got a family plan.
And they subscribe or they use the free tier?
I think they use the free tier. The other thing is kids, you know, in the college and younger, watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
And so with Google All Access, which is the one I use, you also get ad-free versions of all the YouTube music.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you listen to a song, but in many cases, it'll say, do you want to watch the YouTube video as well?
Right.
I like that, and that's something my kids do, so I thought they would go for that. But
yeah. Well, so you should know that if you signed up, they are going to charge you because you had to use your credit card. You had to attach a credit card if you signed up for the trial, and they will automatically.
Unless you turned off the automatic renewal.
Right. Do you want to go through that, or do you want me to go through that?
Yeah, you might want to do that now if you haven't done it. Or if I think you could still sign up and get 3 months free, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So this isn't something that everybody will have to do or had to do on September 29th.
Right.
It's in your iTunes music store, right?
Oh, yeah, or you can do it through the music app.
Oh, or in the app directly.
Yeah, here.
Okay, why don't you show me then?
You click on this little guy up here.
Yeah, that's your
then
person.
Then you go view Apple ID.
Okay, and you'll see your subscriptions in there.
Mm-hmm. Then you would enter your password.
Mm-hmm. I hate it that it doesn't always accept the fingerprint. You know?
I know.
I took all the trouble, put a fingerprint in there. You still want me to enter password sometimes. And yeah. I don't even understand why it wants a password sometimes. Okay.
And then
and we're back.
You click on manage. So manage right here. I don't think that's going to show anything.
Manage subscriptions.
Here
and these
are all
the things you subscribe to, which includes, by the way, Beats Music.
Well, that expired.
And Rhapsody.
And RDO expired. But I've still got these two. But it doesn't have my Pandora subscription in there. I don't know why. Do you know why?
Yeah, because you probably didn't use iTunes to subscribe to Pandora.
That's true.
So, on the one hand, Pandora gets more money. You get 30% more money if you subscribe to them through the website or through the app. But when you do it through Apple, they take 30%. On the other hand, it's really convenient from a management point of view, and Apple automatically renews it and all of that stuff, and you can do this if you want to turn it off. So
and then you got to take one more step. And
I even subscribe to magazines and newspapers through the iTunes store. I know they don't get as much money, but... So go ahead. Just turn that right off now. Forget. Okay.
And then automatic renewal.
That's what you want to turn off.
That's what you want to turn off.
Okay. You're not gonna though. You're gonna keep stick with them.
Well, I don't know. I'm gonna give it some more time.
It will also, as you can see in there, tell you how much longer you have if you're doing the free trial. So you'll know when your expiration date is. So do check that. And remember, if you did it, it's automatically set up to be auto-renew. Mm-hmm. So at the end of those 3 months, unless you say otherwise, it will charge you and you'll get another month.
Yeah. The other thing they promised that you could have a family plan with Android. They were going to have an Android app, and they haven't delivered
Not
that either.
Yet. And that's another reason, because as you know, I use a lot of Android stuff, and it has to work on Android for me. And it has to work on Sonos, which Apple Music doesn't yet, but will, I'm sure, soon.
And it doesn't work with the Amazon Echo. I mean, you can pair your phone and play through there, but you can't control it, and you probably never will be able to. So as you saw, I also subscribed to Rhapsody, and they have a 3-month trial for $1 right now. And the reason I tried that
is they have
a special kids section, and you can have accounts just for your kids where they're kind of locked in and only can listen to kids' music. So I can show you this. This is what it looks like. Now, my kids are already a little bit too old at 12 and 10 for this. They listen to regular music.
This is Kid Bop.
But we used to listen to, there's Disney, there's Kid Bop,
I see.
SpongeBob.
That's nice. And how much is that? The same price as the normal Rhapsody?
Yes.
Okay.
The normal Rhapsody, I think, is a little. I think it's $12.99.
Okay, for a family plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can kind of lock them in and keep
little
them
kids, that'd be
from
great.
The whatever this is over here. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want a child to see that. They're gonna. That's nightmare material. Whatever that is. Wow.
You want to keep them with the Casper baby pants as long as you can.
Casper baby pants. Can I just hear what Casper Baby Pants
sounds
like?
Sure, let's listen to some Casper Baby Pants.
Children today... Oh, this is cute. It's Weezer.
Is it?
No, it's not.
No, it's about...
I thought it was Islands in the Stream.
No, but
Butterfly Driving a Truck. It was a great Weezer number.
But kids...
They never really released it, I don't think.
Kids' music did get better since you're... kids grew up.
Baby Beluga.
They're, you know, talking heads and,
They might be giants.
They might be giants. That's what I meant. I don't know.
I don't think talking heads.
They might be giants.
They've done the one about wake the baby up.
Yes.
That's not a good idea. Never wake a sleeping baby.
Rhapsody. Now, but here's some reasons why I didn't like Apple Music. The music discovery was not as good as Pandora.
Yeah.
Just being able to find new music. The interface was not so great. It was hard to find things. I was really buggy. I would add things to my playlist. They would disappear. There was an update, but I didn't love it. So it's weird that I have so many complaints and I'm still subscribed to it. But I want to give it a chance. I want it to get better.
And I'm lazy. So the other reason I didn't want to keep using Apple Music is because I wanted... This really confused me. And maybe it's just me. But when I had Apple Music turned on, I would see in my library not just songs I owned, but everything. And it was confusing to me about what I could download and what I couldn't, what I owned, what would go away when the subscription expired. So I actually was kind of glad to turn off Apple Music in the settings here under Music. If you where it says Show Apple Music, if you are a member of Apple Music, you see so much. You see all of the Apple Music stuff. When I turned that off, now I just see My Music. And then I can use iCloud Music Library to store my songs. I use iTunes Match for $25 a year. So it just, it made the music app make more sense. The music app shows the music I own. It's both in the cloud and locally. And that's it. And I kind of, it's weird, I know, but I kind of wanted that. So, for me, not mixing, maybe some people will think this is a benefit, but for me, not mixing Apple Music, the subscription service, with my iTunes purchases and my songs on my device just makes it easier for me. And then when I want to listen to streaming music, I can go to Spotify or Google Music or one of the other programs, and it just works. You know, one of the things I like about Spotify, besides the fact that we're on Spotify, which is really great. Yeah, you can watch this show. You can, and video, too, is that they have a Discover playlist, which I really like. I'm not logged into Spotify on here, but do you know about the Discover playlist?
No,
Discover
I don't.
Weekly, it's called. So you go into your shows.
Okay.
Actually, let me log in real quickly and see if I can show you this. You go into your shows, and there'll be a new playlist under the playlist section called Discover Weekly. It's updated every Monday, so it's easy to remember. Because every Monday when you watch this show, you're going to see, there it is. And look at that. That's Anthony Nielsen's.
Oh,
and it has his picture on it because it's made for him, which is really interesting. And I listen to this every week because it's different every week. It's not just new stuff. There's new stuff mixed in with old stuff, some very old stuff. I was listening to, the Tokens or something this morning. Mixed in with some very new stuff. And so it's a playlist that's made for you based on your music interests. It has your own art in it, you know, your album art, which did that freak you out the first time you saw that, Anthony? Did you think, why is my picture?
Yeah, I was like,
What's going on? How did that? What is that? But the playlists are one of the things, shareable playlists, that make Spotify so great. And this Discover Weekly is fantastic. Now, what is your favorite music service?
I can't pick just one. For discovering music, it's Pandora, but then I don't have enough skips. So then I end up taking all the music that I discover in Pandora and making playlists in Apple Music and then losing them and then making playlists in Spotify. And, you know, I think it's just, it's whatever you're used to. I wouldn't say overall Spotify is so much better, but it's we're already used to it. You know, we're already they got there, we're locked in. We're not going to switch.
I think part of it is, you know, I've been using it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I actually let my Spotify paid subscription lapse because I wasn't using it that much until they put us on there. And then I said, well, see, there's my Discover Weekly has for some reason a picture of me in the stocks. I don't know where they're getting that. But
that like your Twitter profile for a while or something?
Yeah, something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where they get it. But so Earth Angel by the Penguins from 1955 is in there, along with the Los Lonely Boys. See, my list is very different. This is a song I'd never heard before called X's and O's. It's an acoustic version by Keila Fletcher, and I love it. And I would never have heard it before. Let me also show you.
I showed him all the things that he didn't understand.
Isn't that great?
I'm going to add it to all my playlists.
It's just great. Let me see. Now, if you have shows turned on, and you may, that may be a beta version. You know, it's funny. I use it on the iPhone, and I really haven't, I don't know where to look. Here's radio. Here's activity. Let me show you on the iPhone. It'll be a little bit, because I know where it is in there if I go to Spotify. You hit the hamburger menu, and you'll see, that's what's new, and you'll see shows. This is where you're going to find video and audio shows, including all of the Twitch shows. That's something new. This is not music. Mm. These are, for the most part, podcasts and shows from Comedy Central and other places. And one of the things I think there's all about Android, for instance. One of the reasons I think they did this is because they don't want to be beholden to the record labels. Mm-hmm. This Week in Google. I'm sure iOS Today will show up eventually as I scroll through.
I know. Tech News Tonight was on there. Was one of the first ones on.
So it's a podcast player, and it even does video, which I think is really kind of intriguing. So let me pause this. But if people have been complaining about the fact that you can't go full screen on the podcast player, we talked about that last week. Well, you can go full screen on this, and it looks pretty good. So it doesn't have our live stream, but So to me, Spotify, that's why I resubscribed to Spotify. And then I rediscovered all these great things like Discover Weekly. I don't run. You run. Have you tried this running thing?
I haven't. I didn't love it. It wasn't my music. It's very difficult to put your music in there.
It tends to be EDM. You know, is it Tiesto? Is that how you pronounce it? So what it does is it matches. It uses
the running to detect tempo.
It uses the accelerometer.
Yeah, your
phone
steps
to match it. So I'm running now. I think
I'm
running.
It was fine, but it wasn't the music that I liked, so I didn't love it.
And it's going to start playing music that matches your beats your steps per minute. But you're right; it's EDM.
Yeah,
it's
not. I don't want to listen to that.
But you know, maybe if you like to run or something, it would be good running music. I don't know.
I think they're probably going to make that better. That when I tried it was an early version.
All right.
The thing we also haven't talked about a lot is Amazon. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you get Amazon Prime Music, and that's fine, too. It doesn't have much, but, you know, you can buy music through Amazon. It has all the music if you bought CDs back in the day from Amazon, it'll be in the cloud, all that music.
One of the nice things about Amazon is I stored all my music on Amazon. You could do that. Mm-hmm. I think I paid a small amount of money, like $20 for a year. And once all your music is on there, the streaming music includes not just the limited selection of Amazon Prime, but also all of your other music. Mm-hmm. So both Google Music and Amazon will let you do that, which is upload your stuff. That's one of the best features, I think, of Apple's music offering. Mm-hmm. But it's not the only place you can get it.
And if you have an Amazon Echo and you listen to music through that, then
this
Amazon,
is great.
Easily. But you can also listen to Pandora through your Amazon Echo. And you can thumbs up thongs and thumbs down thongs.
Thumbs up thongs?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up the thongs.
Thongs. Okay, here's the reason why I stuck to Apple Music. In the car and using Siri. Hands-free.
Siri is awesome.
That's the only way you can, you know, play music from 2005, play my playlist. If I don't want to deal with it and I'm in the car, that's why I
that's
really
unique.
Like Apple Music.
I don't think anybody else does that. You mentioned the Echo. We get used to talking to our house, and now you want to do the same thing in the car. And I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, if you have CarPlay or Android Auto, I think you can play Pandora sometimes.
In Android, you can talk to your phone and say, play, like, listen to Bob. You could say, okay, Google, listen to Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, if you haven't selected a source, it'll ask you, well, where do you want me to play your music from? That'll become your default source for Google Now. I choose Google Music. And then it will, but it's not as good as Siri. You can't say all of those extra things, you know, the play the 2000s and things like that.
I think I need another month to decide exactly. I think I need to narrow it down to two.
I'm crazy. I'm paying for three. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Let me show you one other thing. This Google announced this last week, I think.
Yeah.
This is the Chromecast audio. And by the way, they pointed out that it looks like a record. What they neglected to point out is also looks like the Beats logo.
But I thought it looked like the Beats logo,
we won't mention that. It is like their Chromecast in that it is a Wi-Fi dongle that you hook up to your stereo or any powered speaker system. And then you can use your iPhone to cast to it, but there's a limited number of applications that will cast to it. Now, one of the things I found was pretty cool, and I'm going to do a full review of this for Before You Buy, is it comes with an analog cable. So, for instance, I have a powered speaker here. This is the Jawbone Jambox, and it has a auxiliary input. Most speaker systems do.
Waiting for device to connect.
And so if you plug this into that, and you plug the other end into this, and then you use the Chromecast app on your device, or iPhone, or your iPad, or your Android device, to set this up. You can then cast audio into this little dongle. By the way, it needs power as well, so I have in my pocket a USB cable. So we'll just plug that in.
I have a question. The Jawbone is Bluetooth speaker, correct?
Okay, what you're about to say is, why are you connecting this whole thing up when you could just do it via Bluetooth?
That is what I'm about to say.
I only brought this because it's small.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Obviously, you could use Bluetooth. This is higher quality than Bluetooth.
So
okay.
You can use any speaker. It doesn't have to.
It has to be a powered speaker with a input of some kind.
Got it.
I set it up on my stereo at home because this is what's really interesting. This, of course, looks like an analog port, so you can use the included cable or you can go out and buy an RCA jack adapter cable. But you can also use an optical cable. And at home on my stereo, I'm doing that. That means the optical cable plugs into the same hole. It's optical or analog. And then into the optical input on my stereo. That means this is going to not send analog audio. I'm not going to use the converter in the Google device. I'm going to use a converter, much better converter, in my stereo system. So then you get high-quality music. Now, it's kind of limited for now. It does not, for instance, do YouTube. Remember we were talking about how you could play YouTube mm-hmm. music? That's been a little disappointing to people. It does Pandora, Google Play Music, RDO, NPR One, which is actually great. I love NPR One. You can put together NPR shows in a stream. iHeartRadio, which, of course, carries my Tech Guy show. TuneIn Internet Radio, which carries other radio shows, including my Tech Guy show.
And our shows, too.
And Spotify will also work with this, even though it doesn't have that on the label. But I don't know if it's Spotify on the iPhone. I know it works with Spotify on Android. Spotify allows you to cast to a device. It puts the button at the bottom. And I found it to be a little bit flaky as well. But so what you're looking for is audio programs that support Chromecast audio. The good thing about this is it allows you to essentially turn any speaker system into an internet speaker system. You control it from your phone or tablet, not from a remote control, or even from your internet speaker system. You can control it from your mobile device. But you can turn off your mobile device. Once this, just like the Chromecast video, once this starts playing the music, it's doing the work. It's getting the Wi-Fi. It supports 802.11 up to AC version. Works very well. It was a very crisp, good, clear audio coming in because Wi-Fi is fast enough to do high-res audio. But it's a little limited in the number of applications it supports. $35. This is a great way to internet-enable your stereo or your speakers. If you have powered speakers, your computer speakers. Well, I guess they're already connected to the computer. You don't really need this. Same thing with a Jawbone Jambox. You already got Bluetooth connection. You don't need.
But the Wi-Fi is better.
The quality is better than Bluetooth. Eventually, they say with a firmware update, they're going to add the Sonos style party mode, which means you could enable your stereos in multiple places, speakers in multiple places. If they're powered speakers, you just plug this into them. And then you can all play the same thing throughout the house. And they say, and we'll have to see, we'll test it when it comes out because it's not available yet, they'll all be synchronized. And that's a hard thing to do. Only Sonos, to my knowledge, is the only one that's been able to do that where you don't get echoey and weird latencies going on. So this is a cool device. I think it's early days yet. You might not run out and get it. But if you have a speaker system and you want to play music from your iPad or your iPhone from those apps, this is an interesting way to do it. It's a lot less expensive than going out and buying a Sonos, which starts about $400.
Yeah. Don't try to get it on Amazon, though, because they're not selling those, right?
Yeah, right. Amazon, that's so weird, has decided not to sell Apple or Google devices like this.
They say it's because it doesn't Apple work TV. With Prime. They
say it doesn't work with their streaming, but I thought that would be something they would make work, not the other companies.
I don't know how they can get away with that. It seems like a monopoly type thing.
They can do anything they want. They're a store. You go to a store, you go to Safeway, they carry Chiquita bananas, but they don't carry Sam's bananas.
That's true.
That's just their decision. Yeah. That's their store. So Amazon can carry stuff. I think it's a dumb decision because consumers will buy the Apple TV in droves, I think. It looks like a really exciting product. Why would you intentionally not sell it? Yeah. Now, maybe Apple's blocking Amazon streaming from the Apple TV. I don't know. But I'm sure that Amazon could make Chromecast-enabled version of their app. Because Google doesn't have to approve that. And so you can't blame Google. So I'm wondering what... Yeah. I think it feels like Amazon just doesn't want to have these competitive products in their store.
Well, I mean, I think they've done that with books. I mean, they are competitive.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also not the only ones that do that. Apple stopped selling a lot of wearables once the Apple Watch came out.
Sure.
So they do it, too.
It's their store. They can do whatever they want.
All right. Do you want to talk about Wealthfront?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, I love Wealthfront. It's funny. You know, normal rules are that on this network that when I do an ad for something, it's something I use. Right.
But we're not allowed to. Yeah.
The SEC regulations say that a client can't do endorsements for a financial services product. So when we talked to Wealthfront, I said, this is great. I'm going to sign up. And they said, no. You can't.
I know. They sell it to you when you're talking to them. I'm like, I love this idea.
I love this idea. Wealthfront. What is Wealthfront? Well, it's a low-cost automated investment service that will make you money without charging you ridiculous fees. You know, if you're saving long-term, these are for long-term investments, for a house, for college, for your kids, for retirement, investments that you're going to keep in the market or invested for years, you really have two choices. You can manage it yourself, and it's important that you pay attention. at least every quarter, you have to go in there, rebalance it, make sure it's doing what you want, make some investment decisions. Or you can hire somebody to do that, and those people will charge you 1% to 3% the money you've got under management. Plus, they'll charge you hidden fees for transactions, for changes. It's going to cost you a lot of money to get somebody to advise you. And frankly, the advice you get may not be that good. Wealthfront solves all this. They make it easy for anyone to access world-class long-term investment management with a minimum of just $500. And here's the best part. They only take 0.25% a year as a management fee. That's nothing. And there are never any commissions or hidden fees. We're talking less than $5 a month to manage a $30,000 investment. There are no additional charges. That's it. You know what it's going to cost. They're transparent. You can see all your accounts in one place on their apps. And in personal, joint, retirement, doesn't matter. You can see every trade they make on your behalf on your dashboard. You can also see it on their website. It's all done commission-free, just 0.25% a year. And here's the best part. Right now, because you're watching the show, if you sign up to invest, they'll manage the first $15,000 entirely free of charge. You can start with as little as $500, but up to $15,000 free of charge forever. No fees at all. So we're talking a fraction of the cost of getting a financial advisor. And they're doing stuff that's really smart. Things that I bet you your financial advisor doesn't even know how to do. Things like tax loss harvesting and direct indexing to make sure that you're going to get the highest yield while simultaneously lowering your tax bill. This is hard stuff. They've got it figured out. Don't have to take my word for it. If you go to wealthfront.com/iOS today, you could see a sample portfolio. They'll ask you some questions about your risk tolerance, your time frame, the usual stuff. They'll give you a portfolio. You could see how they would invest it. For as little as $500, you could put money in. Give it a test. Give it a trial. And remember, your first $15,000 in investments are fee-free forever. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure. Go to Wealthfront.com/iOS today. You're not going to get a better deal anywhere. I love them. Wealthfront.com/iOS today.
All right. So we have some things going on. The Martian opened, the movie.
Did you see it?
I saw it. I saw it with my whole family. I loved it. I love the book. I love the story. I love the message.
I grew up with a TV show and Uncle Martin, and the little antennas would come out of his head. And I just cannot wait I've been waiting 30 years for the major motion picture version of this. My favorite Martian. It's back.
That's not. We're talking about the book by Andy Weir, Leo.
Never mind.
Which you liked the book.
I love the book. I interviewed Andy Weir on Triangulation. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
I love the story. I mean, he self-published the book. Nobody wanted it. It's an amazing book. And then now it's,
And of course, I listened on Audible, our another sponsor. Mm-hmm. And the Audible book by R.C. Bray is incredible.
It is.
Did you listen to it?
We listened to it on a family trip.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yes.
The kids liked it?
Yes, the kids love it.
It's got some strong language.
Lots of cursing, but that's it. And what I say, if you're stuck on Mars, that's the words you're going to say.
It's actually funny, and I bet you the kids burst out laughing, because a new chapter will begin with, he's kind of having trouble, right? He's stuck on Mars. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I bet the kids loved it.
Yeah, they listened to it. Probably 5 or 6 times. Like, they listen to it like a fairy tale while they're going to sleep every night. They re-listen to it. No, they know all of it, so they can tell you exactly what he left out in the movie. And
I actually like that, because it introduces kids to the idea of science and mm-hmm. problem solving and using your brains to solve a problem in a logical mm-hmm. fashion. And it's very ingenious and it's very scientifically accurate. Andrew Weir said, "There's only one thing I made up that is not scientifically accurate, and that's the very beginning of it. The reason that the Martian, our hero, Mark Watley, astronaut Mark Watley, gets stranded is there a giant windstorm comes up on Mars, mm-hmm. and it destroys the habitat. Here it is.
The hab.
And they have to, the astronauts think that he's been killed, so they leave without him. And, of course, he's not dead. And therein ensues a story. And Andy Weir told me that the sandstorms on Mars are very slow.
Oh.
The wind doesn't blow that hard because the atmosphere is thin. So that couldn't happen.
Mm.
But everything else, he says, NASA scientists have confirmed to me is absolutely accurate. Although Steve Gibson came up with one other little minor detail.
Are we getting too many spoilers?
I don't think this is a spoiler. Okay. He said, we're constantly observing the surface of Mars with satellites. We just got back that information that Mars has water. That's because of a satellite that's watching Mars. He said, surely he could have made a message that one of these satellites would have seen. But maybe they're not observing the whole surface all the time. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring it up is because you need to see it and read it and both. And and anyone who would like to discuss with me who's seen it and read
it,
I have
talk
some
about
issues.
It with, we don't,
I have,
you have some issues?
Well, they're good issues, but I just, anyone. You can tweet at me, at Megan Maroney. I will discuss this till the cows come home.
By the way, Mars Worm in our chat room, aptly named, says there was a movie of my favorite Martian in 1999 with Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Martin.
Huh.
Perfect casting. And Jeff Daniel as his nephew.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so there's a Martian app. It's here
what?
It is.
This is a cool app.
It's for the iPhone
or
the iPad.
Is it the movie?
And the watch.
It's not the movie, though, is it?
It is the movie. You are NASA Mission Control, and you need to help bring Martian.
And it's all text based, right?
Yeah, so it's just a text based game. So here's what one of my boys went through this whole thing. So you get messages. The only reason it's not my app cap, which is our favorite app of the week, is that it's a lot of notifications. And you get them on your watch, and you get them on your phone.
Well, that's the game.
Yes. So if you want to be, notified about this game constantly, then definitely get it.
Well, because things happen, and you need to respond.
Right.
You need to do something about it.
So it's, so you're NASA, and you get to, choose, what's on your mind, or we need to talk to you about, it's one of those text adventure games, and it's just called The Martian.
And you're saying this is the movie version.
Yeah.
Because I think we've talked about this game or something very similar.
Oh, there was a game that
before.
Was. It is almost exactly the same, and now I can't remember
what.
So
they
but
maybe
it is a space.
Modified it,
it
slightly.
Because you hear. But this is for the movie. You buy tickets to the movie.
Oh,
you
watch
the
trailer,
read
the
book, rate the game. But there was a game that we
remember
watched,
that?
And it was an astronaut.
And you
too.
Played it on your watch.
And we did,
yeah.
And I can't remember what it's called. But
chat room?
Yeah. And we recommended it on this very show.
F. Dunn says, "Mark, this is like making Mark Watney into a virtual pet, a Tamagotchi."
Exactly.
I need water. I need food. Feed me.
So you can play many of the characters. You can be Mindy Park, who, in my opinion, might have been played by an Asian actress in the movie, but she is played by Mackenzie Davis, who from *Halt and Catch Fire*, who I love. So I forgave that.
Okay.
But, playing a little fast and loose with the characters.
They're trying to get the geek audience in.
Right. Yeah.
Here it is, Ares 3.
So, what was that app that we recommended?
I don't remember. But
The Martian. Not the best app ever, and it definitely is a promotion for the movie. And if I didn't love the movie and the book so much, I might not recommend it. But
yeah,
there's it.
This looks like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that app?
So you feel like he's always in touch with you.
You do.
Notifying
you. It's really for people who
constantly.
Watch. Yeah.
That's very much like that game. I think it's got to be based on that game.
Probably, yeah, because you get to decide what's...
And what's this called, The Martian?
The Martian.
Right.
And you can play it on your watch.
Get his bio data on your watch. Don't confuse that with your bio data.
No, don't.
You might be working out and think that was your heartbeat, and it's not.
Right.
It's his, the guy on Mars.
So you have a pick, but did you want to talk about it later, or do you want to talk about it now?
Are you talking about this?
Because you're... called. Maybe does it go better with your app cap?
Want
to save it?
I will show it, and then we'll talk about it in the app cap, because one of the app caps this would be useful for. This just came out from Shure. Of course, Shure makes the best, among the best microphones in the world. They're known for their microphones. And I always am looking for a way to use a microphone with the iPhone or the iPad that will give me better quality sound than the built-in microphone. The built-in microphone's fine, but if you want to... This camera is so good, especially the new iPhone, that if you want to make a movie, you probably want better sound. Now, you could, of course, connect a microphone to the audio jack. That can also be used as a microphone jack. But what you'd really like is something that's digital. And that's what this is. It's from Shure. It's the MV88. And it plugs into the Lightning port, and it's stereo. So there's a right microphone and a left microphone. These are condenser mics. That's how they can be so small and work without drawing power. There's even an app, a Shure app, that it uses so that you can do some funny things with the settings on this. You can use this as a recorder, but you can also record on anything else that will record audio and video. And it does record better. You can, in fact, see, as I tap the mic, there's the sound meter. So let's turn up the gain a little bit so it can hear me. And you also can choose from different, what they call DSPs, different settings in here, which affect the width of the sound stage. So this is kind of an omnidirectional setting, but you can narrow it down for speech so that it's focused right at the tip of the microphone. That'd be great if you were, like, recording your voice. In fact, that's what I'm going to use that for my app cap. You can record music with a slightly wider sound stage. I don't know what minus means, but that that's the wider one. Here's guitar, and here's a speaker. So, and you can even use your finger to change the sound stage. It's cool that it's stereo. It's a little weird, though, because this is left, this is right. If I'm making a movie and shooting this way, by the way, you can easily make the microphone, just flip it around, point towards what you're shooting, and that's kind of what you want. But the problem with that is right's on top and left's on the bottom. They really need to make the way to rotate this. Maybe if I unscrewed it and mounted it a different way, I could do that. Nevertheless, the sound quality is better than the built-in microphone. Also more directional. It's firing out there. So if you want to use your iPhone or your iPad to make videos, and certainly this camera, especially in the new one, is spectacular, this would be a great way to do it. So now, instead of getting audio from the built-in microphone on the camera, it's getting audio from the Shure condenser mic.
How much does that cost?
It's a little expensive. It's about $150. Actually, I think list price is $149. The MV88. Every time I get a new iPhone or Apple changes the iPhone hardware, I end up looking for a way to put a mic on here that is directly connected. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, we're going to use iPhones to do a shooting in the field, you know. And I'd like to have good audio, better audio, because we care a lot about audio here.
Yeah.
It also comes with the world's largest muff.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they'd made that red, because then I could use it as a clown nose. But then it gives you good protection against winds and popping. So you'd probably want to leave that
good
on.
Good for creating podcasts as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the first thing you think about it. But any kind of field recording. In fact, I wonder if radio stations might start using these instead of the, you know, since a lot of reporters are carrying around iPhones or iPads, use these to record instead of, you know, expensive recording gear. I've spent a lot of money on Shure microphones, handheld microphones, and expensive stuff. This seems like a really good way to do it. I'll put some sound samples up on our site if you want to hear what it sounds like. And you'll probably see footage shot from this in a variety of places. Huh. I'll let you know when I do that.
Because my daughter is taking a podcasting class in school.
See?
And they use their, you know, they just use GarageBand.
They're using their iPads.
And their iPads.
There you go.
Something. Okay, so I have some picks. A few weeks ago when Watch OS 2 came out, we talked about nightstand mode, and we were kind of playing around, how does that
watch
work?
Watch has to be on its side while it's charging.
Yeah, and so a lot of the Apple Watch chargers, nightstands, don't support
sideways charging.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't available at the time.
Right. So this one that was available, the Spigen that I have, does support it. I don't have my watch charger in here right
but you
now.
Do, but you just put the little puck in the back
right, you put
there.
The puck in there.
And that's magnetic, and so it'll hold the watch.
Right. And so this one that I got,
that's nice.
it works.
And
but I got...
That's pretty, too. I like the brushed aluminum.
Right. Yeah, the Spigen. So then there were some... I got my dad one for Father's Day that did not work. It did not work in nightstand mode. So that was the Herb, A-E-R-B charger. So I went to the Apple store and got him this nightstand
one.
This is the only one they sell at the Apple store. You know,
this
I went
is not
to get my
an
iPhone.
Apple product. This is made by Emotion Lab.
Elevation
Lab.
And you put the puck in there, same way. But it did not work. He says it keeps falling out. So I don't know where the best relates to.
Well,
show
wait a
this,
minute now. So the puck should go in there, and then the wire comes out here.
Yes, and he says that in the middle of the night it just falls out. just falls out.
The watch falls out or the puck
falls
out?
The puck falls out and the watch falls off.
Well, he's got to tighten this puck through here, maybe.
He says he showed me. You know,
it still falls out,
it's
huh?
It's not my dad's first rodeo either. He does. So
yeah, your dad is a geek.
Yeah, he
knows
that
this
one,
stuff.
And that's $39. That's not cheap either. And
that's frustrating.
So okay.
So do not get the Elevation Labs.
Elevation. You know, I'm going to take it back to the Apple Store.
And
if anyone else has gotten this Elevation Lab and they have a better experience, please let me know. Have you heard of the Fuse Chicken?
No.
This started as a Kickstarter project. And they have a lot of products. And now I'm testing their Apple Watch charger. When I say I mean
my
dad.
But this is a gooseneck lamp.
Yeah, so they have a lot of chargers. This one plugs right into your USB or just stands on the ground. And it's also a good stand for your iPhone. You haven't seen this?
All right. Whoa. And so you need a computer for the other end.
Yes, to plug. Or, but you don't.
Or a charger,
you can just
I
stand
guess.
Up. But this Bobine iPhone charger just stands up like that.
Interesting.
And you can use it. And
that's funny. I use the same desktop wallpaper as you do.
You do?
Yeah, that's weird. Huh?
So this has a USB, and you can charge. And it works in your charger to use as a stand in your car. And it has an Apple Watch charger that I'm testing.
That must really confuse you when we both use our...
Look at that, yeah. But I have a lot of apps.
I'm changing mine.
You're changing mine?
Yeah, I don't want to use the same one as you. How would I know?
So this is a Fuse Chicken Bobine stand, and they have... So if you're looking for...
That's because all the good names are taken.
Fused anything with chicken is just a good... You'll remember
it. Fuse Chicken?
You're going to remember Fuse Chicken.
By Bobine, not Bovine.
Bobine, I think Fuse Chicken is the... It's by Fuse Chicken.
Oh, it's the Bobine. It's FuseChicken.com.
FuseChicken.com.
Oh.
We've reviewed these on Before You Buy, Carson tells me, already.
Yeah, in fact, I think I kicked into the Kickstarter on this.
You did?
Yeah, this looks really familiar.
So it's a good stand for your iPhone. I don't know if they have an iPad stand. Good dock. Because this is a bit... I mean, this is... I use this as my computer. I like it just, you know, it's a nice stand.
Yeah.
And then
do you
they have
feel like
Apple
you
Watch
have to
charger.
Futz with it a little bit to get it to balance? And
a little bit. And you have to certainly take the case off. It didn't work with the case.
No, that's a big problem with cases is a lot of times they block. Same thing with the Shure microphone. If you have a case on here, you may not be able to get the microphone in there, which is frustrating. So you're going to end up, you radio types, you're not going to have a case on your iPad. It does work, by the way, on the iPad.
So I recommend the Bobine
Fuse
Chicken for a stand. That's the Apple Watch charger, which I also
and
have.
And Dad will be testing.
Yes, my tester in the field, Dad, will let you know. He said he used it. And what's good about that is that you can put it at any height, because sometimes your nightstand is low and sometimes it's high, and so you can adjust it to wherever you want.
Nice.
See that? So the Bobine Watch stand, $25.
Cool, a couple of good picks
there. Cheaper than the one
there.
That did not work.
Well, that's frustrating.
And then, of course, the Hermes watch is available. Did I mention that?
Yes, several times. Today's the day that it goes on sale.
Yeah, but you can't buy it anywhere. You can only buy it in select stores.
And, Hermes stores, probably.
Yes, the Hermes
Apple stores, too?
Well, not all Apple stores.
Just
in the Bay Area, it's only the San Francisco
Fancy
Apple
ones.
Store.
That and is the... one ugly band. Don't you think? By the way, note that the watch is different. It's not a traditional Apple Watch.
It's an Hermes-branded Apple Watch.
In fact, I don't know if you can use other bands with it. Look at that attachment.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah, maybe you can.
Thing is, I mean, it's the band you're really buying because, you know, the watch is going to become obsolete not so long.
Yeah,
but the Hermes band will last
don't you want
forever.
A Hermes version of the watch face and all that
stuff? Right, the next one.
The next one.
Yeah. So... Let's talk about Lynda.com. What do you think?
Nice. I like that. Very good segue. Good friend of ours, Lynda Wyman. She created Lynda.com some years ago because she was an educator. She taught people how to do web design and wrote some great books. And by now, Lynda.com has more than 3,000, I think at last count, 3,888 on-demand video courses. That's tens of thousands of videos to help you learn more about, all kinds of things. Technology, of course, but also business. Creative skills, great for hobbies. You want to learn how to be a podcaster? It's in there. You want to learn how to be a programmer? It's in there. You want to master Photoshop or get started doing photography or maybe go beyond and become a professional photographer? It's in there. All at lynda.com. If you're interested in web design and development, you're going to want to check out their latest courses. This is really Lynda's you know, chief interest was all of this. How about this? Analyzing your website to improve SEO. You probably, like me, get that email all the time. People want you to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars with them to improve your SEO. Do it yourself at lynda.com. Problem solving for web professionals. WordPress essential training. Up and running with Python and Django. And Squarespace 7 intermediate techniques. They've also added courses. I like that. They're another sponsor. They also added courses on the new features of iOS 9, what's new in watchOS 2.0. They work directly with the publishers and the hardware manufacturers so that when new stuff comes out, like iOS 9 or El Capitan, they've got a course on it. LYNDA.com. A lot of businesses, including ours, have lynda.com accounts because it's a great way to get your employees a little more up to speed on the technologies they're going to use. There's my friend Ben Long teaching the photography course. They have the best teachers, people who are passionate about the field, but also great instructors. We've mentioned Joseph Lanashke's great courses. There's so much in there. Lynda.com. Check it out. We've got a deal for you. 10 days, the run of the place, free. If you go to lynda.com/iOS today, unlimited access to all 3,928 courses now. They get more courses all the time. You can jump right into the middle of a tutorial. They have transcripts to make it easy to search right into there. Or you can do beginning to end. 10 days is enough time to take several courses. Get it free. lynda.com/iOS today. We'd appreciate it if you use that. That way they'll know you heard about it. On iOS today, you'll be supporting the show. lynda.com/iOS today.
You know who else supports the show?
Me?
You.
Viewers
and
like you.
You. Yes, we couldn't do the show without you. Your questions, that's the time, your comments, your corrections. Last week we talked about whether there was 3D Touch on the iPad Pro that was coming out.
We were trying to figure it out, and I said, well, there must be. And you said, I don't think there is. And I thought, wow, how could they leave that out? Yeah. Well, we found out.
They don't. No 3D Touch.
How can it be pro if it's missing one of the best new features of the iPhone?
I don't know. Is it because they want to sell more iPhones and...
My guess is that something about the pencil mechanism makes 3D Touch not practical.
Right.
So you have to choose one or the other. That'd be my guess.
Right. All right. We also got an email from Michael from Reno, Nevada. Now, he said he's been a fan going back to the Tech TV days. On episode 265, you said live photos could only be viewed on the iPhone 6Ss. And he said any iOS device running iOS 9 can view them.
Oh, good.
And I have tested this by sending a live pic to an iPhone 6. So it is true. And I think I can show
you.
So
it's a feature of iOS 9.
You can't press.
You can't
force
take
touch,
the picture on anything but a 6S.
Yes.
So as we mentioned before, really what these are a still that's a JPEG. And it's a higher quality, by the way. And then attached to that is a MOV file, a QuickTime movie file. That is the moving part of it, and what it does is it automatically kind of when you force touch it plays the movie, but when you don't, it just plays the still. And so you're getting the still, but apparently there is some way. I know they're on El Capitan. There's just a button that you click that says play it back. So the way Google Photos handles this, and I think this is an update because I don't think it did it before, is it uploads the still, so the still all by itself. There, and then it also uploads a movie, which is the MOV file associated with the still. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a perfectly legitimate way to do this. We were at the Getty Museum, which is just beautiful. And so I shot live photos, a lot of live photos. Here's Lisa looking at the beautiful fountain at the Getty Museum in Los Angeles.
So that's a live photo.
That's a live photo. The way Google Photos does it, but it corresponds to the still, so that's the still, so you get both. You get, in effect, the still and the live photo. So I actually think that's an okay way of handling it. This is the issue on a non-force touch or a 3D touch device, is how do you trigger that sudden motion, as we've shown you before with the 3D touch. You just you press it hard and the thing comes alive.
Let's try this one. Here was another one. There we go.
So you just hold it
this was the one that
moves.
I texted to myself.
Okay. That's so that's the crew
the live
opening
photo
there.
On an iPad.
They're 12.
I know I could do it.
Fires.
Yeah.
They got 18 Amazon Fire tablets for the cost of one iPad.
So, yeah, you can text them, but then when you save them, they don't appear to be live photos anymore.
Yeah.
Because I saved this because I thought, this is what I'm going to show on the show. But then when I saved
it,
yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, see, and you can tell because there is the live photo icon there. But
I think because these are standard formats, JPEGs and MOV files, which almost any computer, even Windows computers, understand and can play back, that it's just a matter of companies saying, oh, I see we have a bundle of a JPEG and an MOV. I should treat this in some special way. The way Google does it, though, as far as I'm concerned, is fine because I get both, kind of both the still and the movie, a three-second movie. They're all 3 seconds, which is kind of weird. See all these three-second movies? These are all live photos.
Have you turned off live photos?
Yeah, so, and you mentioned this before, the advice is if you're doing a low-light photo, so for instance, here's a low-light photo for my iPhone 6S Plus, you want to turn off live photos because you'll get a higher quality image like that. I mean, that's as high quality as you can get.
Mm-hmm. That is really,
yeah.
That's
just beautiful.
But so I wish that were live so I could see you drinking that whole thing.
Yeah. So when you're in the dark or when you just want the best quality photo, just turn off the live photos. It's that little yellow button. I have to say I've been very impressed by the camera on the iPhone 6S Plus.
Me too.
I took a lot of pictures. Now, of course, it's all in bright daylight, but I took a lot of pictures at the Getty and just a gorgeous place. I got yelled at for taking that picture.
You did?
I did. I said, no pictures. I said, I thought you could take pictures here. None of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so if you want to text yourself, text a friend your live photo, you can do that.
If they have iOS 9.
If they have iOS 9. But they don't have to have a 6S. And they can watch it on their iPad if you text it to them, as I just showed. Okay, Justin from Jacksonville, Florida. He says, I was listening to Leo give his review of the iPhone on Before You Buy.
Yeah, did I get something wrong?
You said that the iPhone doesn't support quick charging. And he says, I am pretty sure that the iPad charger will charge the iPhone at 2.1A.
It will charge it. The question is whether to charge it faster. So you absolutely can use a higher wattage charger on your iPhone, on any iPhone. But there's circuitry in all modern devices with lithium-ion batteries to limit how fast it charges, to limit how many watts you can put into the thing. Apple does not say this has quick charging. I found it to be as slow as the old iPhone. So putting a higher wattage charger on this, I don't think is going to charge it faster. I'll have to do some experiments to see. When I talk about quick charging, I'm talking about a feature that is available on many Android phones that comes from a Qualcomm chipset that is called Quick Charge 2.0. And it really is fast. On the Moto X, for instance, you could charge the entire phone in an hour. You can get about 10 hours worth of battery life in just half an hour. That's what I mean by quick charging. It may be that using an iPad charger, a 10-watt charger on the iPhone, charges it a little bit faster. But I think there's circuitry in here. What you don't want to do, you'll wear out the battery faster. Even though you could put more watts, a bigger wattage charger, you could put a 100-watt charger, if you could find one with a lightning connector, into this thing. But it's not going to allow you to pump 100 watts into it. It'd wear the battery out faster. Oh. So maybe it charges fractionally faster. I haven't seen any real difference. This is a somewhat slower charge. But you know what? If you get the 6S Plus, it doesn't matter. This thing goes all day, half the night.
Yeah, I haven't run out once during the day.
It's amazing. I went through, travel is a good example because when we were in Los Angeles, there's nowhere to plug in. I'm going around and stuff. And I got through the whole day, got on the plane, got home, still had 20% left. It really is a great battery life. It's great on this thing.
So Rick from China. Rick is our China correspondent. He always points out things that don't work there or reasons that
good.
He would
Thank
do things
you,
differently. And you were talking about how you only really need the 64 gigabyte. Nobody really needs the 128.
In my opinion.
Right.
It's just one man's opinion.
And he says he needs it because the internet streaming is almost impossible. So if he uses Apple Music
stuff.
Or anything, he has to. Yeah. So if you're in a place where, like China or other places where streaming is bad, then you might, or if you're planning on moving to a place like that, you might want to consider getting a bigger.
Well, I got the 128, I have about 30 gigs free, so I wouldn't be able to do what I do now with a 64 gig, but I've downloaded almost my entire music collection on here.
Yeah.
I've downloaded a dozen audiobooks on here. So if you're the kind of person that does store stuff on the device, maybe you do need a larger device. I think for 90% of people, 64 gigs is the sweet spot. You don't want 16, as we said before.
Right.
And 128 is $100 more than the 64. I mean, you know, I spent the $100 because I just want to be able to put everything on here.
Right.
And not have to delete photos,
yes.
4K videos, all mm-hmm. of that stuff. So, yeah, you have a good point. If you need more storage, at least it's there. You can
right.
get it.
Rick also asks, he still is not sure which video podcast to download. If he's watching both on his iPhone and on his iPad, there's so many choices. Video high, video low, video HD, video SD. Which should he use if he wants to watch on his iPhone and his iPad?
Of us, you mean?
I believe he's talking about
us.
What else would you, what other podcasts would you? Is there anything else?
Well, this iPhone here, the 6S Plus or the 6 Plus, these are 1080p. So you certainly have enough pixels on the screen. Our high quality, highest quality video that we offer is 720p. So any 720p or better phone, you probably should download the big size. But remember, it's a lot bigger. You'll see the file sizes vary quite a bit. So if you're streaming it, you have limited bandwidth, you can get a lower quality. And frankly, it's not going to look much worse. That's why we offer three different ones. It's really more about file size.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we probably should say small, medium, and large instead of, you know, lower quality and higher quality. But when it's a smaller file, the quality is lower. So I would say here's my rule of thumb. Use the smallest file that looks good to you. And if you feel like, well, I really want the high def quality, it would make a difference. You'd be able to see it on any iOS device at this point, even, because it's 720p, even the old iPad would still be all showing all the pixels, all the dots.
All right, we got a voicemail from Will from Raleigh, New Hampshire. I think it's from Will. We have a voicemail.
Hi, this is Will in Raleigh, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
After Monday's show, I went ahead and did the install for iOS 9 on my iPhone 5C. And then woke up Tuesday morning after it was all done to starting playing around with it. And one of the very first things I noticed when I needed to place a phone call was when I went to the multitasking view, the double press on the home button, that the contact favorites were no longer there. And of course, they've got this new carousel style cards instead of the old single cards. I can't really say that that's an improvement, but man, I really miss those contact shortcuts. And best I can tell, they're just gone. Be really interested if y'all know anything about why Apple made that decision to take it off, if you got any context on that. But anyway, I'm already using another alternative method other people who are missing this might want to hear about, called Widget Dial.
Mm-hmm.
Very good little app that will put a dialer in the notifications as a widget, and in addition to having a dial pad, it also has a page for your favorites. Unfortunately, it's not reading the favorites from the contacts app. You have to enter in your favorites again, but at least it gives you a way of being able to get to favorites, and you can touch a favorite, and then it gives you a choice of making a call or sending a text message or making a FaceTime call or whatnot. One last comment, one thing that Widget Dial doesn't have, it's on its keypad, it doesn't have all the little letters. So you might want to think about when you're given the phone number for iOS today, in addition to the cute little blah, 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 blah iPad, is give the full 10-digit number for those of us who are using Widget Dial and don't have the letters to go by.
That's pretty funny.
Anyway, thanks for the good show. Bye.
Of course, Apple's dialer does have the letters associated
right.
with the numbers on the Apple dialer, and I think it's an oversight for any dialer not to have
mm-hmm.
those letters, because it's not outdated. It doesn't have to do with the exchange. Remember Pennsylvania 65000.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with things like iPad, call iOS today. He's using contacts, and I understand that contacts doesn't, but if you use the dialer, if you use the phone, you can look at contacts, and I have favorites. What is he talking about?
I don't know.
Because if you're just looking at the Contacts app by itself, right, but don't use the Contacts app. Use the phone icon. You'll have the Contacts app there and all the everything that's in the Contacts app, and you'll have this favorites thing. Furthermore, if you have the new iPhone and you and there's certain people you call a lot, make sure you put them on the top of the favorites list, because the first three people are going to show up when you force touch the icon there. Mm. So I think three people is probably more than enough for me. I don't know how many people you call. But the fact that I can just quickly go there and make a phone call to somebody is, I think, a nice new feature.
Did you customize that, or they just put that on there?
So here's how it works. When you first get your new iOS device, it does not apparently import favorites. It's not keeping track of that in iCloud or somewhere. So you'll have to go to favorites. This will be blank. And add people as your favorites. Jason, see, you'd be in there, but I just don't have your phone number. So doesn't mean you're not a favorite of mine. And it looks like you can add quite a few. What do I have here? There's nine there, and you can add another four, so 12 or 13 names. And you can just call them direct. Now, I have to admit, it's sounds like a lot, but really each number is in a different entry here. So if you have a FaceTime number, a mobile number, and a home number, that's going to be three entries in there. Then you go into edit, and you rearrange it so that the top three are the ones you call the most, because those are the ones on a newer iPhone, on the brand new iPhones, that are going to show up when you 3D touch or pop or whatever you call it, the phoner icon. So I guess what he's saying is, you know, I don't even have the contacts app on my front page. I hide it away in this Apple folder of stuff I never use. The contacts app itself doesn't really have much functionality. But you see, all the functionality that's there is available directly through the phone app by tapping the contacts number tab there. And then if you hit favorites, you've got favorites still. So maybe you just missed that. I don't know.
Yeah. But it did say...
I think I understood that's what he wanted.
Right. But they disappeared. You have to re-add them.
Yeah. I don't know, because I always do a clean install. If you did an upgrade install, probably they'd still be there.
Right.
But I did a clean install on a new phone, so they weren't there. It wasn't storing... It stored my contacts, but it wouldn't store which ones were favorites, so I had to recreate those. But that takes 5 seconds. That's 5 minutes. It's not a big deal.
Well, Jack Red in the chat room is saying that when you used to double-click the home button, the contacts would just appear. But now they don't they appear when you...
If you swipe left from the home screen, if you swipe down from the middle of the home screen, I guess if you swipe left and if you don't have anything selected, your favorite people that you call are there. Look, you're right on the top.
Oh, look,
you're
at
one
that.
Of my favorite people, along with your most recently used apps. And
your suggestions.
I love
Siri
the suggestions.
Siri thinks I should be your favorite. That's what she said. Oh,
Siri says, why don't you call Megan more often?
Mm-hmm.
You're right up there with my wife and my children.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
You're powerful. How did you do that? So that's if you swipe left. Now, if you've entered anything in here, as I had, like I did Adobe, right, or something, it will then narrow it down, and then when you swipe left, you won't see that. It'll preserve the previous search. But if you don't have a search in here, you've cleared the search. That's automatically. Those are the Siri suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he was talking about? I do like his tip. I mean, I think it's nice to have a widget dialer.
Yeah.
If you haven't looked at what widgets are available to you in a mm-hmm. while, you should look at it. That's the thing that you swipe down from the top of the screen here. There's today and notifications. And under today, if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see an edit button. It'll show you what's already selected and then what's available based on the apps you have. You see, I don't put everything in there. It could get unusably long. But there's some really good ones. We've showed this before. For instance, I use Authy. That was one of my picks. These are all my authorization numbers. So that means that even if I'm in an app, I just swipe that down.
Mm-hmm.
It shows me my battery on both my phone and my watch, travel plans, news. I can check in using Swarm. I've got my calendar. I think this is... And so he's saying there's also a dialer you can put in there. Yeah, and there's your pCalc. We'll put a calculator. I don't want to overload this with too much stuff. So you got to carefully pick what you put in there.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the edit button to see what else is available, because apps add the feature all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you can email us at iostoday@twit.tv if you have any questions or comments. You can obviously call us 757-504-iPad, and I will tell you what that is. iPad 4. Did this last week. I'll do it again. 7-2.
You're figuring it out as you go.
4-7-2-3.
Yay.
4-7-2-3. And... Yeah, we love to have your comments. You can send us a video and make the voicemails shorter, a little bit shorter than Will's.
30 seconds would be right.
Yeah.
He started it with his name and the mm-hmm. city. That's good. And then 30 seconds so that we don't want to have to edit you.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to put on funny hats.
We're
going to
put on funny hats, but first.
Braintree. Braintree is a really great solution for anybody who's looking to add mobile payments to their app or their website. The payments solution is great because you don't have to write it. That's great. You don't have to worry about its security, fraud protection. That's a highly specialized area. And as we have learned, and we learn every week, it's a hard thing to do. Braintree does it right. Braintree, developers around the world have embraced Braintree's V.0. It's the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to your apps, to your website. And what's nice about it is you get all the ways to pay, period, including, of course, Apple Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, even Bitcoin. And when something new pops up, Braintree supports that too. For instance, Android Pay, which was launched just a couple of weeks ago. If you were using Braintree, all you'd have to do is go to your control panel on the Braintree site and check a box, and now it's supporting that too, automatically. No wonder Uber uses Braintree. The payment in the way you pay in Uber is part of the secret sauce. Your customers are happier because of Braintree. Airbnb uses it. GitHub uses it. It scales from your first dollar to your billionth dollar. GitHub started with Braintree, still use Braintree. Simple, secure payments. Integrating the code is easy. In fact, they'll even do it for you if you don't have time. Just 10 lines of code. Android, iOS, JavaScript, .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. Elegant code, clear documentation. It is sweet. And as a little sweetener, we're going to give you your first $50,000 in transactions fee free. We love Braintree. You'll love Braintree, too. Try out the sandbox. See for yourself. BraintreePayments.com/iOS today. You know, they're owned by PayPal. They just hired my good friend Harper Reed. That's the stuff that they use on the buyable pins on Pinterest. They're just, it's knocking it out of the park. You got to check it out. BraintreePayments.com/iOS. Today!
Today, all right.
Hat time.
Hat time.
Hat time.
Oh, it's the weather's getting cooler.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Actually, I wear this to baseball games.
You do.
But in San Francisco, you need a nice warm hat. This we don't wear anymore because Panda was traded to the Boston Red Sox. But
you could still wear this one to the baseball
that
game.
That you could wear. Or hunting. Mm-hmm. That's international orange.
Yeah.
Hunting
or
orange.
Or if you didn't want to show your eyes to the audience anymore because they were shifty.
I should have worn that during our hip-hop segment on the new screensaver.
I'll do it on the side. All right. So this is the section where we wear funny hats and we talk about our favorite app of the week. And mine is an app called Soon. It's the ultimate bucket list. If you are ever talking with friends and they say, oh, you should really go to this restaurant, or you should really read this book, or you should go to this bar, or you should see this movie, and you think, yes, I'm going to do that. And then when you get to San Francisco and you think, what were those restaurants that people told me to go see, and you've forgotten them, now you have an app for that. It's called Soon. It's for your...
It's not about everything. What you've done.
It's what you plan to do. But you can also do what you've done. So before the show started, I asked everybody for some recommendations.
Things you should do soon.
Yeah. So here it is on my iPad. It's really just an iPhone app. But
look
so
at
it
that.
Doesn't look as great on the iPad, but it's easier to show you on the iPad. So here are some movies that I want to see. This was recommended by someone in the chat room, Jupiter Ascending.
I haven't seen that, but I wouldn't...
So
yeah.
So I haven't seen Kiss of the Spider Woman.
That's
Mad Max,
a great
I haven't
movie.
Seen Inside Out, I want to see again. Straight Out of Compton. Haven't seen that. Steve Jobs, I want to see that. And so The Martian I saw over the weekend, as I will continue to talk about until someone shoves something in my mouth to tell me to stop talking about it. So then I've seen it, and I just click done. Did I like it? Yes. And then I can share it with someone else, or I can put it back, or I can share it. I don't know what. I'm not going to trash it.
So did it bring in the movie art and all that stuff automatically?
Yeah, it did that. Yeah, just, nice. You just look. So yeah, recommend a movie to me, Leo.
You should see Casablanca.
You
must remember this.
I should
this.
See it again.
A kiss. So it even goes to that far back, 1942.
Mm-hmm. All
hey, that's
the way back.
Great.
So,
I love how that looks.
Movies,
that's neat.
TV series.
Same
These
thing.
Are the same
Orphan
TV
Black.
Series that I,
Homeland, Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm. And the books I'm planning on reading.
I like how the dots get smaller. Like, you really should watch more movies. But if you must read a book...
I think that's as many as I have in there. That's how.
Oh, it's related to your size of your
list.
Because
I have no museums in there. Should I go to the Getty?
Go to the Getty. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've never been to the Getty. There's the Getty Villa, and there's it's not near you. Mm. Does it have to be near you? Oh, put it Los Angeles. That's all. So that way they'll know to look in Los Angeles. So that's interesting. Does it near you? Could not find a museum named Getty near Los Angeles. Well, that's...
Do you think it's called The Getty?
It could be The Getty. It's Getty Center. The Getty Center. Yeah. But that's not good.
No, that's not good.
Well, that's not good.
No, I want to go away.
How about the Exploratorium? Is that near us?
Let's see.
That's another one. I'm sure you've taken the kids there. Yeah.
I guess it just... It won't let me go anywhere. It knows I'm not
you can't
allowed
leave
to go
town.
Anywhere. So here's trending... What's local trending? So if I want to be trendy, The Martian and Steve Jobs movie. Here's what's trending: House of Cards, mostly movies, I guess. The Burger and Lobster. I don't know what that is.
Oh, let's all go to the Burger and Lobster.
Here's an interesting thing. This is apparently what my contacts are doing. So I guess I allowed it. So there's. Tom James.
Sarah Lane's at the hideout.
She recommends.
Sarah Lane's. Oh, now she's at the ramp.
That's not
now
where
she's
she
at the
is.
High dive bar.
This is on her bucket list. This is Sarah Lane.
She's obviously using
list.
This app, isn't she?
She is,
look
yeah.
At that.
She's,
yeah. So you can see all of Sarah's suggestions.
I don't remember actually giving it permission, but I probably did. So if you don't want to share where you're going or what's on your bucket list with someone, just keep that. But look at that. If she likes that, I probably will like that restaurant. So I'm going to add that.
That's
to
one of the
list.
Nice things about having friends in there is that you know who has good taste.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So yeah, soon.
Soon, I'm going to have to get that.
And you will never forget what you wanted to do.
And it's free.
And you can. It is free, and you can do all the things that you want. That Sarah Lane, if you want to do what Sarah Lane's doing,
it says
and
you
what
have
Sarah
to
Lane's
have
watching.
A Facebook account to use it.
Oh, you have to.
So that's. Well, somebody in the chat room said that. Let me download.
I think you can log in.
Without it? But it says, remember your future. That's a good tagline.
Are there people who don't have Facebook accounts?
Yes.
No, my husband doesn't have one. But yeah, I'm going to do all the things Sarah does. That's the way I live my life.
And I have to enter my password again. Why,
soon.
Apple?
And why, it's hard to find this. So you can look at the link in our show notes once they're posted, because if you just look for soon App Store, you're going to get a lot of
I'm downloading
this is coming
right
to the
now.
App Store. So it's soonforever.co is the way to get the
I have beginner.ab. Is that a different soon?
No, that's the right soon. That's the right.
It's got the infinity on it.
Remember your future.
Yeah, soon remember your future beginner.
Beginner.
Cool. I have more than one app. Is that okay? Because Adobe announced a whole bunch of new stuff at the Adobe Max conference, updated versions of previous Adobe apps, and brand new apps. I don't even know where to begin. Of course, Photoshop Express has been around for a while. The idea is this is the iPad version of Photoshop. They've added some new features, including the ability to take pictures with Photoshop Express, which is kind of cool, and then import those pictures into it and modify pictures, you know, do that thing that you do so well. They've got filters, and they've got, of course, some paid stuff as well as your own custom looks. But you can also do cropping, which is nice. They have what they call corrections, which means that you can change the exposure or defog. Reduced noise is something that you just don't see on a lot of apps like Instagram and Hipstamatic. That will take the grain out of a low light picture. And you know the technology to do this is actually now pretty good. So if it were just for that, or maybe sharpen alone, I would say this is worth getting. They have Clarity, which if you've ever used Lightroom, you'll recognize as a very nice tool. Contrast, highlights, shadows. Temperature, so if it's, you know, if it's a little too blue or a little too yellow, you can fix it there. Vibrance, which can add some real zip. Red eye reduction, it'll even do that automatically, find the red eye. You can add custom borders to your stuff. Actually, I kind of like that one. Isn't that pretty?
Silk screen that onto a t-shirt.
I think that could be a t-shirt, couldn't it? And then, and you're going to love this, blemish removal. Now, it doesn't just have to be zits. It could be anything that you want to take out of an image. It'll do smart correction. So this is really much improved. We played with this before. It was really kind of unimpressive. But the new Photoshop for iPad, which they call Photoshop or PS Express, is fantastic. There's another oldie but goodie is Adobe Voice, and that's actually what I was going to use the microphone for. I just want to make sure people knew about this. It allows you to create a story. The idea is, and it'll even say, here's the layout for a story. The idea is you have audio that you record. It'll really be helpful to have the Shure mic, and then you could put images. They have tens of thousands of icons you can choose from. So you can basically make a narrated slideshow. They also have music as well. You can add to it. But this is an example of where having a good microphone, a lot of the ones that they use as an example are clearly recorded on the iPhone or iPad mic, and they just don't sound as good.
Have you ever thought about adding a new dog to your family?
Hear the kind of the echo and the...
Yeah.
Let us introduce you to
So having a good microphone and something like this would be really great. I have to say, though, this is a very nice app. Again, free. If you have an Adobe account, you'll have more features. It's called Adobe Voice. Photoshop Mix is new, and this does a lot of interesting things. One of the ones that you'll find the most useful is the ability to cut out images. Actually, I'm in the middle of a tutorial, so I'll just... let's not do what I just did. Whoopsie. Let's go back. Oh, I swiped the picture out of the frame, and now let's just cancel that tutorial and get the heck out of Dodge here. You can crop, adjust. There are various looks, but cutout is going to be the most useful one for you. Cutout is where you cut something out of a picture and put it in another picture, and it has a smart filter, so you can do it even somewhat automatically. Let's see if we can go through the tutorial now without me. Apply a look, enhance this flower image, and give it a portrait look. All right, so you can try different looks, and the nice thing is you can paint it on. So that's a nice one, and you can. You can just paint it on. Select the flower to apply the portrait look. And then you can also invert the selection. So we've selected. Oh, yeah. See that? You've selected the flower. I'm not doing a very good job, but let's pretend I did. And select the flower and then invert it. Okay, and I inverted it. And then, do you see what I'm doing there? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if I'd done it more carefully, I could have made the flowers in color and the vase in black and white or otherwise. But wait, there's more. Do you want some raindrops? Yes. Now, this is really cool. So the raindrops were overlaid on top of the flower, but what I can use is a filter, like the multiply filter in Photoshop, to mix the two together. What's nice is this is very touch-focused, it really does a good job in a touch environment. I think on the iPad Pro, this will be even better. Remember, Apple demonstrated some of these apps on stage when they announced the iPad Pro. I think that what's happening here is you're seeing Adobe say, you know, more and more people are going to be using Photoshop-like tools on an iPad, particularly on an iPad Pro, so we better get these out here. What they've done is...
You should make him smile more.
Can I?
That you remember from the... They made that woman smile more.
Oh, they did. They did. I could make... There's nothing we can do about that. I'm sorry. This is important because if you use desktop Photoshop or Lightroom, of course, these will sync up with a Creative Cloud if you have an Adobe account and automatically save the changes you make. So
don't make her smile more. She's perfect.
She's just the perfect way she is. Just the way she is. But you can see you can brighten her face up a little bit. So it's a little confusing because there are literally half a dozen apps. There is considerable overlap between the apps, but they're free to download and play with. If you have an Adobe account, log into your Adobe account. If you have a Creative Cloud subscription, you'll be able to do even more with this. I use the Lightroom version. They've added some features to that as well. So Adobe really, I think, sees the iPad as a big-time future platform for them, especially the iPad Pro. But you can get a little taste of what it's going to be able to do right now. Adobe Voice, Photoshop Fix, Photoshop Mix, PS Express, those are the programs I showed. There's also Adobe Capture, which allows you to capture colors, shapes. There's a Sarah Lane capture I did some time ago, brushes, and apply these again into your Photoshop or into the other apps. So this is really a fantastic app. So I could take, for instance, let's say I really like the color and shapes of whatever that was. It looks like the stand that I was on. I could now then select a color, and apply it and do some interesting things. The mid-tone color has been shifted. So I now applied that look to this, which is wild. Play with it. I think you'll find these are really nice apps, and they should be absolutely on your iPad if you ever do any photo or image work at all. My App Cap.
So free with an Adobe
free-ish
cloud subscription. Got it.
Free-ish. You can make a free Adobe account. You should definitely use your Adobe account. If you have a Creative Cloud subscription, I have the cheap one. I have the, whatever it is, $8 a month for Photoshop and Lightroom. Then you can save the images on the cloud. You can copy it over to your computer. Lots of nice additional features available.
Excellent. Well, that does it for this episode. You can find all the links at twit.tv/iOS today. You can email us. You can go to our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/iOS today. And you can call us 757-504-iPad. And you can always subscribe
always.
To twit.tv at iOS. It's free. All this and more for free. Many ways to subscribe.
Thanks to our fabulous advertisers.
Yes, it is.
They pay so you don't have to.
And that's it.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.